Hello. Thank you for that presentation. I think you set up a nice segue into our presentation. We are going to be talking about the limited English proficiency population in California. First, to introduce myself, can you hear me in the back? Yes, okay, thank you. I realize I have an accent. I'm deaf. If you don't understand something I said, please let me know. I'm happy to repeat it. My name is Chris Moreland. I'm a civil internal medicine physician and hospitalist at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. I did a civil internal medicine fellowship, which I just completed last year in Sacramento, UC Davis, a few hours north of you. My colleagues, Ms. Wheatley, Dr. Rainwater, and Dr. Romano are still at UC Davis. Our topic, state policies and language access in California and Asia most. How did this topic come about? As you know, I'm deaf, I work with interpreters. So I've always had an interest in the limited English proficiency and how health interpretation services impact the access to care and the health outcomes. In this presentation, however, I focus on speaking language interpretation services, not sign language interpretation. First, some background. We define limited English proficiency to mean that someone does not use English as their primary language, and they are unable to speak, read, or write comfortably in English. Using that definition, according to the U.S. Census in 2000, more than 20% of the Californian population is LEP with limited English proficiency. Among those people, those who are enrolled in a health maintenance organization, or an HMO for the purposes of health insurance, more than 1 million of them in California are limited English proficient. How do we reduce or improve the disparities affecting that population? One method is by using spoken language interpretation services. We have prior evidence showing that those interpretation services for the limited English proficient improve access to and quality of healthcare, clinical outcomes, and healthcare utilization. For example, annual physician visit, use of cancer screening, prescription filling. The studies that are shown here are primarily systematic reviews. Some further background in California. In 2003, the Senate in California passed a law, Senate Bill 853, that was implemented in 2009. That law required health plans in California, health insurance plans in California, to provide language access services to certain population. The law applies to HMOs, PPOs, and other forms of health plans. Here, we focus on HMOs because they make up the dominant share of health insurance, of the health insurance market in California. Senate Bill 853 did not require language access services for everyone in California, but there were two variables that factored into whether a health plan had to provide such services. One, what was the size of the HMO, and two, how many the HMO members in each HMO spoke a certain language. It was based on a formulaic calculation according to percentage. So, there is a data agency in California, the Office of the Patient Advocate, the OPA. Their mandate is to advocate for the patient, especially for minority patients, those of the racial, ethnic, or linguistic minority. To evaluate the effect of SBA 53 on HMO, the OPA conducted a survey, an annual survey, of HMOs in California. Questions in the survey attract language services, for example, interpretation, foreign language documentation, bilingual staff. I'll come back to those in a few minutes. Our objective in conducting the study, we evaluated the results of the survey, and using the results, we plan to report the Dialect and Language Access Service for California's Employment and Income Proficiency Act. Those who are SMR enrollees within the context of voluntary public reporting and state regulation. By voluntary public reporting, what I mean is the OPR on an annual basis will collect responses to the server. After collecting responses, I think the same year, they will post the responses, the aggregate responses, on the OPR website. These results were available to the public. And by state regulation, I mean SB 853. Our methodology. The survey was conducted annually from 2003 through 2008, except 2007, because logistics. Again, questions addressed in language services, in person, by telephone, and via documentation. In person, meaning through language interpretation, or bilingual providers. By telephone, could be interpretation, or again, bilingual services. By documentation, there are three forms of documentation that we address here. HMO member handbook, newsletter, and website. The survey addressed 7 languages. 4 other languages were added in later years. We don't address the 4 languages here, only 7 languages. The survey also addressed the 5 lines of business, commercial, Medicare, and California, that's Medicaid. Commercial, Medicare, healthy families, Medicare, and healthy kids, we're HCHIP. The number of HMOs reporting HCHIP coverage was so small that we don't consider it here. The survey addressed 59 questions in 2008. Some of those questions were present from the beginning, some were added in subsequent years. We can't address all of them. We discussed about 5 questions in this presentation. The study population, or the survey population, consists of the 9 largest HMOs in California, as well as the HMOs that provide services to the Medicare population. Altogether, those HMOs encompass about 90% of HMO enrollees in California. We conducted a retrospective descriptive analysis of the survey responses. For this survey, nearly 100% of response was obtained across the survey years, except for 5 plans. The responses were stratified by language or product line. This table indicates the number of respondents to the survey for each year of the survey. As you can see, the numbers were fairly consistent from 2003 through 2005, and then fluctuated upwards in 2006 and 2008. Our first figure. I'm going to be a bit quick with the figures because I'm running behind. But for the first figure, this shows the percentage of commercial HMOs, specifically commercial HMOs, that provide medical interpretation in each of the specified languages. From 2005 through 2008, this question was added in 2005. As you can see, for Korean and Russian, the number of HMOs providing medical interpretation at the provider point of contact increased across the survey years. That's true for Armenian, Chinese, Korean, and Russian. For the other 3 languages, Spanish, Tagalog, and Vietnamese, there was some fluctuation from 2005 through 2006, and an overall increase in 2008. We are now able to explain that fluctuation. This focuses not only on medical interpretation, but on free interpretation, free of charge. The results are identified by line of business, Medicare, healthy families, Medicare, and commercial. It seems the key on the left is incomplete. I apologize, but with the top two lines, these are Medi-Cal and Healthy Families. The bottom two are commercial and Medicare. As you can see, Medi-Cal and Healthy Families provide nearly complete language services, or rather, they provide free interpretation across the survey year. Medicare and commercial plans, for a reason unknown to us, declined from 2003 through 2004 and rose again across the remainder of the year. I should emphasize that Medi-Cal and Healthy Families are state regulated. They are required by contract with the state to provide language access services. So Medi-Cal and Healthy Families act as a sort of kind of a bar for the other lines of business to meet. This figure focuses on language concordance between health provider and patient. In other words, this is the percentage of plans that matched health provider and patient by language. As you can see, Medi-Cal and Healthy Families did so nearly consistently across the years. For reasons that we are unable to explain, Healthy Families, only 20% of plans with Healthy Families did so in 2004. I think that's a fluctuation, an outlier. For Medicare and commercial plans, they increased across the survey years. Our final figure. This focuses on bilingual staff providers, bilingual staff, or bilingual employees at the HMO, who are able to provide services at the HMO point of contact to members. As you can see, there was very minor fluctuation, but an overall slight decrease for each language across the survey years. Some other results that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but I wanted to mention this. For telephone interpretation, it seems that across the survey year, telephone interpretation for almost all languages increased for all lines of business. Interestingly, telephone interpretation was achieved by contracting with outside vendors for telephone interpretation services. For plan documentation, handbooks, newsletters, website, the use of these in non-English languages increases in for nearly all languages across the survey years. So what can we take away from this? First, HMOs in California appear to be providing more language services across the survey years from 2003 through 2008 in various modalities, especially for Spanish and Chinese speakers. That's concurrent with the demographic of California. Spanish and Chinese are the second and third most commonly spoken languages in California. Interestingly, Medi-Cal and Healthy Families are state administered. They are required by contract to provide these services. That's reflected in the results. Medicare plans are administered by the federal government. So what's left is commercial plans. It seems that Senate Bill 853 may have had an effect on language services by commercial plans and other plans. However, our results have some limitation. This is a survey, a census, if you will, of HMOs in California. These results are self-reported. We were unable to validate any of the results, although we tried. It's possible that there were some other confounding issues across the survey year, but there are no other laws in California requiring these services, commercial plans. With these issues in mind, it seems that a combination of a clear legal mandate and public reporting may encourage such services. In a question, I think the next step for us would be to see if there's been any impact on health outcomes. In a question, Okay, thank you.